Hello, everybody. I'm Katie Knight, and welcome back to Can You Put Me on Guest List? So we've all watched his videos, whether they've been from the DJ booth at some of the world's biggest festivals or from the crowd at some of the most renowned clubs around the globe. Luca Dea began recording DJs and parties just as a passion project. What started off being videos just for himself to keep as memories has now turned into being a source for thousands of people to watch, listen, and live some of the most special moments in dance music captured through the eyes of Luca. 15 years ago, Luca opened his YouTube channel, and since then he has filmed some of the biggest DJs and events. And the best part of it is that the videos that he records, he still does for himself. As I said before, just to keep and watch back some of his most treasured memories and then share them with the rest of the world. So I was so curious to know how all of this started out, what the journey has been like so far, especially with technology and social media advancing so quickly, the videos that have worked the most, and so much more. A reminder that you can also watch this interview on Spotify and on YouTube. And here you have it. This is Luca Dea on Can You Put Me on Guest List. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to see you again.
My pleasure.
I'm really excited to have you on the podcast. This is nice because normally you're the one behind the camera, and now we see you in front of the camera.
Yeah, this is something new for me. I did some interviews in the past, but I'm not used to. So it's a pleasure to share some experience with you.
Nice. Okay, well, I saw a post the other day that it was your 15th year anniversary doing this, being a content creator, traveling the world, recording from some of the biggest festivals, clubs all over the planet. But I would like to know how this all started out for you, because I think I've read somewhere else before that this was just a passion. You used to do this just to have recordings for yourself. So how did this start? Where did the idea of recording an event or recording a DJ come from?
I can start saying that, 15 years that I opened my YouTube channel, and that day it was like a new thing, because YouTube was born in 2005, so I opened my channel in 2008. So
wow.
YouTube was just a baby, 3 years old, and me, I was trying to share some videos that I was doing in that period. I already started maybe some months before recording parties from very few small parties from my hometown. And then I said, okay, let's see how is working this YouTube, because I was already seeing some videos from parties from other places. So I say, okay, let's open mine. And this was also before I opened my Facebook, because Facebook I opened on August 2008, so it was like March when I opened YouTube. So it's really something difficult to understand now. How was that era?
So you said you started doing this in your hometown. Where, first of all, where is your hometown?
So I'm based in Treviso. It's okay. A city very close to Venice.
Okay.
Everybody obviously know Venice. So Treviso, it's also famous to have the Venice airport, Treviso.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on Venice, maybe you can land in Treviso and then you go to Venice. So, but okay, it's also cool to visit Treviso, I have to say.
Okay, on the list. It's on the list. Definitely go and visit. Okay, so what was the first ever party that you recorded at, and who was playing?
This is difficult to say, because I can only say the first video that I upload, I can remember, because I was starting recording also before, but in that period, maybe young generation can't understand this, because
yeah,
the difficult part ever was uploading.
It's can not imagine like it is now.
Yeah, now it's easier than ever, but 15 years ago, seems like 300 years ago, because the connection, the speed connection was something incredible, slow. So I think I upload the first video was like maybe 20 seconds, because maybe you get like 1 hour, 1 hour and a half to upload 20 seconds. So
wow.
Like a DJ, a very friend of mine that was playing like in the second room. So it's difficult to explain how difficult it was. And for this reason, the first 2 years, I didn't upload a lot of videos. I have a lot of videos that I never upload because of the megabyte, the gigabyte, that they were so heavy for that period.
So you uploaded this first video, and then what happened after that? You just decided to carry on uploading, recording in different places and uploading, but still as your own passion. What else were you working at that time? Where did this connection to music come from?
Okay, so I can say that the connection with the music start very early, and electronic music was not my first passion. I have to say I was more into rap and hip hop when I was like 12 or 13, 14. And for that reason, I start going to electronic music very late, thinking about some friends close to me. They went before. So this guy that I recorded the video that is the first video I upload on YouTube invited me a lot of time in Sunday afternoon parties that in Italy was like the beginning of young generation to go to clubs. And after some invitation that I refused to, I decided, okay, let's go. And this was like when I was 16. And I have to say that I appreciate it. So from the second time, I was already starting working like a public relation guy, because my friend said to me, okay, if you invite some people, if you arrive like to invite 10 people, you get a free access. So okay. Me, I already say, okay, this will be interesting. And then I started going every weekend, inviting a lot of people. And this make me go into the electronic music, because I was good, I have to say, in public relations. So after some months, I created my own name, because it's also an answer maybe for our next question, like why do you call you Luca Dea? That in Italy it's Dea.
Uh-huh.
And this it's because my friend was working in a public relation staff that was called Dea staff.
So Dea isn't actually your surname. It's an artistic name. Okay.
And Dea was the name that I was writing in every flyers, because people get a discount presenting the paper flyer with my name behind. No, I have to say, not with my name, but with the name of the staff.
Dea staff.
I was writing in every flyer, you have a space behind, a white space where every public relation guy have to write the name of the staff.
Interesting. So you've basically been building your brand, your personal brand, way before this even started, through doing your PR, and everybody was seeing your name but on a flyer. And then from that, I'm sure that people still relate that time with you working as a PR to your videos now. So it's kind of grown right from the beginning. It hasn't just grown because of your YouTube channel. This has been since before that.
Yeah, and for sure this helped me a lot because I mean, in my hometown and in the city very close to, I was already called to collaborate as a public relation guy. So my name came from here, and after like some months, I didn't write only there, but to recognize me, I started to write Luca there. So people don't know, before they know only the staff, but after this, they know also me.
Luca there. So at this time, you're doing your PR, you're recording a few parties. What are you recording with? Because obviously we weren't recording with a mobile phone then. What was your first camera?
I have to say that at the beginning, I was asking like some small cameras and that they may take with them to take pictures. But me, I was taking also pictures to have memories, but then I decided to go into videos. And as I say before, the uploading was very slow, so I have I was not recording like long minutes, but yeah, was just like a few clips to record that track that I listened to. And I was there first of all for public relation, but then obviously in those clubs I was like, okay, I really like the music, so I want to keep memories of this. And when I was going back home, I was watching a lot of times my videos, remember that night. So that was how everything started.
So since that moment, you have now grown your social media platforms, which we'll talk about in a minute, but they've gone from, obviously, as you started out, to now having 86,000 followers on YouTube, 125,000 on Facebook, and 156,000 on Instagram, which is so many people that follow your content. But at what point did you realize, oh, okay, this is something here. People really like my content, for it to actually build into a brand to what you do today? So where did it kind of leave from, I'm just going to do it for myself, but actually wanting to do it because you realize that you're onto something here and other people wanted to follow you too?
So it was a very slow process because, as I said, I started as a public relation guy in clubs. So the first 3 years, I was just like recording for myself and keep the channel as a channel with some memories. I was like uploading not a lot of videos for the connection. So the first 3 years was really, really the beginning of everything. And one important moment was when I was 21 in 2011. That moment I decided to leave the public relation world. And from that moment, I understand that videos were growing very good. A lot of people were starting say to me, thank you, Luca, for uploading. And that moment I decided to discover the world. So I said, okay, I don't want to go every Saturday in the same place as a public relation guy. I don't want to see the same clubs. So I decided to start travel to Italy, but also worldwide. And 2011 was important because in March, in that year, I went for my first time in Miami Music Week. Mm-hmm. And 1 week after, I went to Time Warp. So for sure, that 2 weeks were crazy for me because I was like, okay, I have to go. I have to make some videos and try to upload the fast I can on the web, so people will find the first mine. Also, if they weren't good qualities because I didn't have a good camera, because I didn't started uploading quality videos. And I have to say, yeah, I didn't have a lot of money to buy big cameras. So this is also something I like to keep, because it's not about the quality of the video of the camera. Obviously, if you have a good quality, people can appreciate it more. But me, I was like, okay, I have to rack the best moment and in the best way, so people can see the energy behind that video. And me, I was the first customer of that videos, because before of everything, the video was recorded for me. So that's my best secret, because if I have fun in the party, if I like to record something, it's because I really like that moment. And the first one that want to see again that video, it's me.
I love that. That just goes to show how much passion and how much energy you put behind these videos. Is you're not doing this just because, you know, you're trying to get followers or people to view your videos. The first reason for you to do it is for the love of the music and of that moment. And that is something very, very special to have as part of your work. That's so nice.
Yeah, and it's also difficult to explain to maybe young generation that now see how much followers are important for these years. But in that period, it was completely different. So It was all about sharing with people who want to share with you. So it was just an exchange, and it was for sure very true, because going into YouTube to watch my videos was only because somebody else want to see with the same passion like me. I was not doing to grow my number of followers or to even imagine something I'm doing now. It was all true and pure.
I bet you've made quite a nice community as well of people that probably followed you from the beginning, because through comments and sharing, do you see that a lot of the people that followed you from the beginning still follow your videos now?
This is something curious, because, you know, somebody do that, and it's crazy, because starting from 15 years ago, it's a longer road. So obviously, a lot of people that started following me in the beginning, in the journey, maybe they had family, maybe they had babies, so they maybe changed the lifestyle. But it's also good to see that they are still with me.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really nice. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the different platforms, because as we said at the beginning, obviously your first platform was YouTube, and then Facebook came a few months after, and then obviously Instagram, and now we've got TikToks and Snapchats and all of these different social platforms that exist right now. But what was the transition like from, or transition, or opening up other channels in your name? And how did you kind of decide what content would go on where? Or do you always use the same, do you film the same content for each platform? How do you kind of distribute what you're filming?
Okay, so yeah, this is something not easy to explain, but I can start obviously that I started with social media also before YouTube, because I started with Netlog. I don't know if you remember this platform.
Mm-hmm.
This was my first really social media, that I was already doing that for public relation, like posting flyers and pictures of parties, but not videos.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I started uploading some videos in MySpace. That was the best social media for electronic music when I started in this world, and unfortunately is gone very fast. But obviously, the most important is YouTube, because I started in 2008, as I said. But obviously, YouTube, it's a different kind of social media. It's only for the true passionate. The very first big social media I started was Facebook. And obviously, at the beginning, was very easy for me, because everybody was getting into. And I can say I have the first difficult moments starting to go on Instagram when Instagram was starting going very good, because I was more into YouTube and Facebook. So create my page was very slow. I created in 2013, but at the beginning was only for pics, you know. When videos arrived also on Instagram, was like very difficult for the situation that happened, that when I was videos on YouTube, if someone else upload my same videos, YouTube send a notification to me and said, there's a duplicate, what you want to do, you want to keep, or you want to send a message to cancel. So this was very easy to see. But when Instagram and also Facebook, they started together because they are the same company. They decided to get viral with videos, so everybody can upload the same videos. That was a problem for me, because I started uploading videos very how can I say, without any logo.
Plain videos.
And from that moment in 2016, I decided to create my logo. So my logo has only 7 years. Because at the beginning was not necessary. I was like posting the pure video, because nobody was thinking to upload it again. But in 2016, a lot of pages started to upload the videos from everybody. So they were using a lot of videos of mine without mentioning me. So in that moment, I say, okay, I have to start to put my logo, not because I want to be the star with my name in the video, but just to protect my contents.
Absolutely makes total sense. But it's so nice, because when you're like scrolling through Facebook and you see your logo in the corner, you know that it's going to be a good video. You know, sometimes if you could just scroll down, you know, another video. But when you see Luca Dea and like the rec button, you're like, okay, this is going to be some good content. So I think it makes the content like jump out at you more, knowing that it's from you.
Yeah, obviously this was not intentional, but then I realized obviously that was an important part to see my video recognized more with my name.
Yeah, for sure. What has been the video that has had the most views yet since you started, or the video that's worked the best?
This, it's Sven Vett in Cocorico in Italy.
When was it
from? It's a very old video. It's a video from 2012, and it's one of the last videos with Sven Vett with the hair.
Because wow!
After some months, he started to change his look. So I think it's a crazy video, because show the really energetic Sven in the way we used to know him in the beginning, with this long hair. And without glasses, because now he's always with the glasses. So obviously the combination between Sven and the sunrise in Cocorico in Italy was the best combination, because it's an epic place with an epic DJ. I have to say, one of my favorites. So I think make people watching again. And also last week I met a guy that stopped me and say me again, Luca, thank you for that video. I'm still watching after 10 years. And this is the best part of my passion, because when people stop you and say something about your videos, it's like, okay, I did something that create a connection between people and music.
Absolutely. And you're showing people what people that can't go to the events or can't be there for whatever reason, you're showing through your eyes what the event is like. And the one thing I like about your videos is that it's not always in the DJ booth and you've got somebody in the DJ booth, but you actually go into the crowd and what people would live at the party from the crowd. And it's not just, you know, like the backstage part, which is really nice, because you're just putting yourself into other people's shoes and showing from your own eyes what the party's like, which is really great. Do you have a favorite DJ apart from Sven? Do you have any other favorite DJs that you like to record?
I have to say I'm very lucky, because since the beginning, I listening to different kind of music. So I've been, can enjoy a lot listening tech house music, and obviously techno music is a pleasure to hear. So this might, maybe it's the difficult question I can answer, because I have a lot of influence in different kind of music. So maybe it's also something that make me connect with more people, because I'm not like, okay, I want to create a techno channel or a house channel. So I'm very lucky for that.
Versatile. Is there any artists or any festivals or clubs that you have not yet recorded with?
Well, I have to say that every day I discover there's new clubs, there's a new festival going on. So at the beginning was like, okay, I want to go here, here, and here. There was like few festival, few clubs that you know that you want to go. Also because it was difficult to know what's going on, because that's why I started recording, because you can find a lot of things about music. People that were recording something, they were just few people. I have to mention Fra 909, that it's a pioneer of this. And watching his videos when I started was something very special, because he connect about people and music also with his videos. So seeing something like this make you understand that you want to go there.
Yes.
So I think that's maybe for that reason that I really enjoy people, because they see something they didn't know. And then they say, okay, I see the energy from that place, so I need to go there.
Yeah, I agree. How many batteries do you take out with you when you go to a party?
Yeah, that's one of the most important thing of my my experience, because I have to say in the beginning was a big problem, because I was like seeing, okay, I have like 10 minutes left. I have to choose. But now, obviously, I'm prepared well for that reason. I have a good power bank.
Nice.
For my phone. And when I used to take also cameras, I was like going with the free batteries. And yeah, that's the most important part of going to festivals, because yeah, if you go in a club, you can do it with less, but if you go in festivals with different stages, that is something that you have to keep in mind every moment.
So we saw each other at SXM Festival a few weeks back. And whilst I was there, when I was doing the DJ interviews, one of the questions that I asked a lot of the DJs was, who is the DJ with the best dance moves? And today I was thinking, this is a question for Luca, because if anybody's going to know, it's going to be Luca. So who do you think has the best dance moves?
Okay. That's a very interesting question. I have to say, the first person that I have to mention, it's obviously Ricardo Villalobos. His moves are known from everybody. I think if you just put him without the face, everybody recognize him, because it's like a classic that you never forget. So a lot of people also playing the music he play get into these moves only because they
remember
him.
It's true. It's
like Ricardo, it's a icon on that.
I agree with you.
But also there are a lot of DJs. Maybe, yeah, one day I have to do like my version of dance moves. You know, you remember that video with the guy trying to dance like
we need a Luca Dea version.
I've seen them a lot, so maybe I can try to do my version one day.
I think that's a good idea. I think so. And my final question, because my podcast is called Can You Put Me on Guest List? Do you have a guest list rule? Because I'm sure that because everybody knows that you're going to be at most of the biggest parties, I'm sure you're asked for guest list quite a lot.
That was an important part for me when I started, because I didn't have access to any place, because I didn't know anybody. I started as a young guy going to festival. And at the beginning, also, as you said before, I like to go in the dance floor recording. So I didn't need to go on the backstage to record. It was also a pleasure to stay in the dance floor. But then to have a different point of view, I started to ask guest list, yes. And I was lucky. In my hometown, I met a lot of DJs. They were playing there. So it was cool, because I met there, and then we started to have a relationship, and they invited me in some different place. So I have to mention this thing, because I met when I was 20 Paco Osuna, and I was say after the set, when I met him, I will go with the school in Madrid. I want to go to listen to you. And before I finished the sentence, he said, okay, I will put you, and you have to come with me. And you can imagine, when I was, for a guy that have 20 years old, I was already recording in that party, because it was like a party near my hometown, UND in Vicenza. And for me, that is something that make me understand, let's go on this, because what I have to say, that I met a lot of very good person before saying DJs. And this make me feel very, very happy about going to listen them, but also to know more as a persons. And obviously, Paco Suna, Joseph Capriati, Marco Faraone. I have a long list of DJs that First of all, they are good and then they are good DJ. So that is the most important part, because with a good person and good people, you can create a good connection.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. The first most important thing is doing things with a good heart. Luca, thank you so, so much for coming on my podcast. And thank you so much for everything that you do and for documenting the way you do and for just bringing so much joy to so many people, because I know that you do. And I'm very grateful to have you here on the show with me.
It was my big pleasure, and I hope my English was enough good to understand it.
It was perfect.
Thank you. Perfect.
I will see you in, I'm sure I'll see a lot of you this summer here in Ibiza and at festivals and wherever the music takes us.
Yes, music first, and we go follow that.
We do. Luca, thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye. See you soon. Ciao.
Bye.